celebrate our independence from Great Britain and the King and all of that. But today we're going to celebrate our independence as believers, because Jesus purchased our independence with his blood shed on the cross. So, Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we're grateful, we're thankful, Lord, for you acquiring independence for us. Lord, not independence, Lord, so we can just live our lives, Lord, however we want, Lord, but independence, Lord, from the chain of sin, Lord, and the chain of death and hell and the grave, Lord. You broke that off of us, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, we pray that we would celebrate you today. Lord, that we would enter into everything that you have for us, God. That we would not miss anything that you prepared for us. Lord, I just pray right now for everyone that's listening to my voice right now, Lord, that you would allow their hearts to come into a fine tune with you. That no matter how distracting life has been, no matter how pressured they have felt, no matter how off-kiltered they have been, Lord, you would center them on you. You would let them set their eyes and their focus on you, the author and the finisher of their faith, Lord. And that they would feel a restoration come to their soul, a healing to their heart, Lord, a refreshness, Lord, that only you can bring. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Yeah.
see you working, even though we can't feel you working, even though everything that life is saying contrary to that fact, Lord, we know that you're working. Lord, that you never stop working. God, it's you who is at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, we thank you, God, that we're not in this alone. We thank you, Lord, that we have not been abandoned, Lord, as orphans, God, but we have been adopted, Lord, as sons and daughters, Lord. You have made us your children, Lord. You have made us, Lord, your offspring. We thank you, Lord, that because of your love, God, the love, Lord, that you demonstrated by your Son hanging on the cross, Lord, we have been restored to a place of relationship with God. We thank you for that, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would continue to draw each and every one of us closer to that truth today. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take a moment, just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of God. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free with your truth. Thank you, Lord, for opening blind eyes. Thank you, Lord, for setting captives free, Lord. Those who have been bound by the chains of the enemy. Those who have been bound by addictions and afflictions, God. Thank you, Lord, for setting them free. Lord, we thank you that you're a way maker. That nothing can stop you, Lord. Nothing can keep you, Lord, from accomplishing your goal in our lives. Only thing that can resist you, Lord, is us. So, Lord, we surrender our hearts and we surrender our lives today afresh and anew to the Waymaker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord.
Hello, family. Good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Amen.
Freedom. Woo! Yes. In more than one way. Amen. So we're actually, am I going to pray for this too?
Or I can pray. You okay. Want to pray for Yakima? I'll pray for the government.
Okay.
We'll split it.
So I have to tell you, I don't know how long it was. It was not a really long time ago, but it was quite a few years ago that Elena, bless her heart, got it in her heart that she wanted to feed the homeless. And she, we actually did that. We fed the homeless down in a park in Yakima when you could still do that because they've passed laws now that you can't do it. But we actually, as a church, went down there and we did a chili feed. Did we do chili? And we had sleeping bags to give away and we had scarves and we had hats and gloves and boots. And it was like in the fall time, I think.
It was summer.
Huh?
Was it hot?
Lots of socks. No, it wasn't really hot.
It wasn't hot. Okay.
No.
That was the one where Josh Montgomery ended up with the chili in the back of
his trunk,
right?
It was getting ready to go in the winter. And we actually fed it. I mean, everybody that came, we fed them. We gave them whatever they needed for the winter time. And it was amazing. Amazing. But what I want to say about that is this. I think we, as a church, found more freedom in that than those people did that were being fed and blessed. And let me tell you why. Because there comes a sense of so much love and so much care that you feel for them that you can't help it. You sense it, you feel it. So the reason I'm bringing that up is we're getting ready to pray for Yakima. And even though Yakima officials have made it where we can't do that freely like we used to, still our hearts can pray for the homeless, for the people that are less fortunate than us, for the ones that need Jesus. Did you know there's homeless people that love the Lord with all their heart?
Yeah.
But there's also bound people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we think that freedom means you know, I have plenty to eat and all that. But no, freedom is freedom, spiritual freedom. Amen. And so we need to pray with that heart that we got when we went down there and fed those people. So, Father, we lift Yakima to you today. Father, Yakima was on your heart way before it was on any of ours.
Yeah.
And you care about Yakima. You care about people in Yakima. You care about the man that has the most money and the least. You care about the 99, the 100, and even though the 99 may not have you standing by them, you care about all of them, Father, but you go for the 100. You go for the 99. You care, God, you care. Father, let our hearts care. Let our hearts recognize the blessing that we have, even if we don't have everything. We have you.
Mm.
And so, Father, help us to have a heart for Yakima. Father, help us to want to feed the homeless. Help us to have a heart that wants to bless Yakima. Help us to have a heart that wants to bring Jesus to Yakima. Help our hearts, Lord God, to turn and recognize that because we're here, you have planted us here, and you've given us a job to do for Yakima. So, Father, bless Yakima and help give us God ideas for Yakima in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And, Lord, we also pray for our government. Lord, we know that you have asked us in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, Lord, to lift up and pray for those that are in authority. Pray for our representatives. Pray for, Lord, those that are in government authority over us, Lord. So right now, Father, we pray for the Biden administration. Lord, we pray for the president, the vice president, all the cabinet members, Lord, everything that is associated with all department heads. Father, we pray that you would just bless them, God, with your presence. Bless them, God, with your truth, Lord, your truth that will help make them free. Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct their steps, Lord, in the natural and to our own understanding, Lord. It looks like they're resisting everything that you want to do, Lord, and accomplish. But Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you would go beyond even their own abilities, God, and turn the hearts of the king, Lord, as you said that you can do. Lord, allow them to come into alignment with your will and your purposes and your plan. We pray for our Congress. We pray for our Senate. We pray, Lord, for the judicial branch, Lord, the Supreme Court and all the judges and all the district attorneys and everybody that represents our legal system here in this country, the FBI, the CIA, Lord, everything that seems to have authority over us, Lord, we lift these branches of government before you, God, and we ask that you would intervene and you would intercede, God, and that you would work, Lord, on behalf of the people of this nation, Lord, through them, that they would not use their power for corrupted ways, Lord, but they would use their power, Lord, to serve people, to give people, Lord, the justice and the honor and the full judicial, Lord, scope that is due the people, Lord, and that evil and corruption, Lord, would fade away. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, do you want to talk about Between Sundays? I'll talk about Between Sundays. So, a few months ago, Gay came up with a saying, Between Sundays. And I love it because if you think about it, we're not all about, you know, just what's happening here on Sunday. Even though that is part of our life, we enjoy being with you. But really, our life in God is really 24/7, 7 days a week. So we need to make sure that between this Sunday and the next Sunday, that we're causing and allowing our hearts to be towards the Lord. And so we've created a few weekly meetings. One of them is in person, two are virtual. Youth is on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, and that's at Eric and Nancy's, and the address is 6404. Appleview Way, 98908, and that's a great meeting for youth. I've never attended it, but I guess they have a great time and they experience friendship and fellowship, but they also experience the Lord and His Word, so that's good. Do you want to talk about this coming summer worship night?
This coming Saturday at 5 o'clock, We are going to be meeting at Zeke and Tara's house. And do we have the address up there? We do not.
No, we don't yet.
Address.
But I know it. 1403 South Fifth Avenue.
1403 South Fifth Avenue, and you can get to it off of Meade. And you're going to turn north on Fifth Avenue. So whichever direction, turn north on Fifth. And they're down at the end on the right-hand side. Google it. You guys do Google Maps. You're with it. You got it.
And so, it's a great time.
Yeah, it is.
And but if you come at 5, yeah.
At 5 o'clock, okay. If you come, Zeke and Tara are going to feed you a hamburger. If you don't come until 6, Jesus will feed you spiritual food. Okay?
Oh, so, I thought a hamburger at 5, hot dogs at 6. Maybe ribs at 5, hot dogs at 6.
Anyway, we're going to eat before we worship the Lord, but we're going to worship. And the last time we worshiped in Eric and Nancy's backyard, we had over 20 people.
And it was amazing.
And it was wonderful. Everybody is invited. Nobody is excluded.
And they have a shaded backyard.
They have shaded backyard.
It's usually
pretty
cool.
And plenty of chairs and... There'll be plenty of food, and there'll be plenty of fellowship, and there'll be plenty of Jesus. So come expecting a great time.
Amen. You want to have a seat?
1403 South Fifth Avenue.
That's right. I have it memorized from all those years. Yes. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes. I think so. I mean, they'll probably announce it if they're not, but I'm pretty sure they are. I think we asked them. Didn't they say they were?
I think so.
Yeah. And by the way, Eric and Nancy are at a family reunion today, enjoying family over in Seattle with family you haven't seen for a while for Nancy, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's awesome that they get to be away. They already have told us they're missing us this morning, so keep them in your thoughts and prayers, and praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. Went off. And I want to remind you that you can give to One Life Family Worship at onelifefamilyworship.com, or you can give in our treasure chest and the box in the back. And we want to thank everyone who does give faithfully to this house to help pay for the expenses and just to keep us going. Praise the Lord.
Yes, the lights, the air, just the love.
The Amen. Air especially this morning, right? Everybody's appreciating the air, even though we would like a little bit more of it. All right, so we're going to talk about Independence Day. Independence Day. And, you know, we have a great celebration that we do in the United States, you know, with fireworks and, you know, and food and you know, sometimes get a little rowdy because people are so excited for our independence. And that happened, you know, in the couple hundred years ago now. And with that, we declared and said we're going to be independent from
England.
And because of that, we had to go through a war as a nation. And we fought for our independence, and we received our independence. Many lives were lost. Many people laid down their lives for our independence. Many people laid down their lives for us to maintain our independence to this point. But this independence that I'm going to talk about is our independence that we receive in Christ. And then we're going to talk about three parts of it. The first part is Jesus came to give us independence. Now, when people think of independence, they're thinking, oh, Jesus came so that we could live an independent life and not have to have allegiance to no one. No, that's not the kind of independence that he got for us. He brought us independence so that we could be finally severed from the works of the enemy, from the works of the devil, and become dependent upon God, which is a good kind of dependence.
which we will soon see. Let's go and look at Colossians.
In dependence of him.
There you go. Ooh, that's really good. In dependence of him. I don't have that on there, so I wish I would have. Okay, go ahead and read Colossians 1, 13 through 14, please.
13, God made us free from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Son paid the price to make us free. In him we have forgiveness of our sins.
So I know in the Bible we use the term made us free, but you could use the term that he has brought our independence. But we're going to use the term freedom today. Which really, that's what we were trying to achieve as a nation. We were trying to be free from England and the oversight and the tyrannical rule of the king. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's from England, forgive me. So God made us free from the power of darkness. He made us free. So what does that mean to you when it says that God made us free from the power of darkness? What does that tell you?
That it wasn't my efforts, it was his.
There you go. This is something that Jesus accomplished. Jesus accomplished the work. We don't make ourselves free from the power of darkness. And I know there's people that have tried. Sometimes we can break bad habits, sometimes we can break addictions, but it's still not what makes us free from the power of darkness. What makes us free from the power of darkness was Jesus' work on the cross, was Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection. That full process broke the power of sin and death and hell and the devil over our lives. And after he broke us free from the power of darkness, or made us free, one of the translations says he translated us or moved us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Some translations say the Son of his love. So if you think about it, we were once in darkness. Our eyes were once blinded to the truth. Our hearts were alienated from God. We thought we were enemies of God, that God, some of us didn't even know that God existed. Some of us refused that he existed. Some of us were atheists. And when Jesus worked the work that he did, where he made all of us free. See, there's a time that when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And when he accomplished that, he made all of mankind free. Now, when he rose from the dead, it initiated it. But the work of the cross, that finished work on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit, said, "Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit," the power of darkness was broken. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was 3 days later the enemy realized that his plan foiled. I think it was immediately. That he said, "Oh my goodness, what have I just done?" You know, I think immediately Jesus was working. What do you guys think? Yep.
Yeah. Oh snap. Yeah.
Yep. So he brought us in the kingdom of his dear Son. The Son paid the price, the full price. Mm-hmm. What was his price that he paid for us? His blood. Mm-hmm. He purchased us with his blood. And I know some of us don't like to think of blood, you know. We don't like to think of it, you know, when someone's bleeding or something like that. But Jesus' blood that he bled was what was necessary to make us free. It was the purchase possession we are was purchased by blood. And in him we have forgiveness of our sins, which is part of making us free. Some people say, "Jesus died to forgive me of my sins." No, that's just a byproduct. And as we'll see, Jesus was manifested for one purpose. And it was to make us free. But it was because he did this other thing, which we will see in a minute, is what made us free. Now you're going to wonder what it is. Galatians 5:1.
Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. Now hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves of the law again.
So this is Galatians 5. Galatians is known as the chapter that Paul communicated, basically the idea between serving the Lord through either a relationship and love and the law of grace and the law of love, or serving God or thinking you're serving God through rituals, circumcision, eating certain foods. All of these things that basically was part of the Jewish belief system. And Paul said, "Listen, Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. So he's telling them that they're free from having to follow all of those Levitical ideas and those Levitical laws that they were under, and laws that even were added even after Leviticus, because there were Jews that said, oh, to follow this law, we have to have this law. So basically, there was a law, folks, I'm not kidding, that if you spit in the ground, it was like you were furrowing and that you were trying to do work of planting. I mean, it was that crazy. Yeah. No? I know. How did they ever... They couldn't keep those kind of laws, of course. And they created yokes for people. We've talked about that before, that they couldn't handle. They were too heavy for even the Pharisees to handle. Jesus says, you can't even keep your own laws. Anyway. So, Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. One of the translations says, for freedom's sake, for the sake of freedom, Christ has made us free.
Right.
You have something?
Well, I'm just reading this, and I don't know if I'm reading it differently than anybody else, but it says, now hold on to your freedom, which to me means we can let it go.
Mm-hmm.
That we can become slaves again to the law.
Or slaves to sin.
Or slaves to sin. That it's us.
Right.
And what we hold on to that keeps us free. So what are you holding on to? I'm gonna take a step. Let me just go here.
We're all family.
There are people that are born again Christians that will not eat at an establishment that they know is run by a same-sex couple. Pardon me? Or if they serve spirits or whatever, right, alcohol. Now, let me just ask you, that's not freedom, is it? How are we going to witness to people that need Jesus if we don't go where people are at that need him really badly? We become slaves to the law instead of to Jesus. And I'm just asking, are there lines you won't cross? Are there places you won't go? Or are there things that you won't do? I remember a long time ago, I heard a story about my mother-in-law. This was my first mother-in-law. And she was down on First Street. Now, it used to be on First Street and Yakima Avenue, down that little north corridor of First Street. That was where a lot of taverns were before the day. And a lot of the poor men that lived on the streets, that's where they frequented. Yeah, that's the word. That's where they were at to get a drink or do whatever. And I remember she told me the story of driving by there, and she was a registered nurse, and they had thrown this man out in the street, and he was bleeding profusely because they threw him, and he hit his head on the curb and split his head open. And she walked in to that establishment with all those drunk men and the atmosphere, and she asked them to call an ambulance, and they refused to do it. And she said, this is what she said now, I am a born-again Christian, and I bring Jesus with me. Call an ambulance now, or I will clear this place. That's what she said. And they got on the phone, and they called the ambulance, and she did not clear the place, but everyone had been put on notice that she could, and she would. Now, let me just say, How many of those men, later in life even, not even that day or that night, but later in life, remember that Christian woman that dared to walk between the doors to go in to get help for this very drunk man in the middle of the road? She didn't care if it was a tavern that had bar girls and everything else in it. All she knew is there was a man bleeding and hurting. She was a good Samaritan. She was getting help for this person. Would you do that? Or does your sensibilities about being a Christian say, oh, I would never walk into a place like that. You know, those are drunk people in there. No. We have to be very careful that we do not put our freedom on the line that shows there is conditions to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I mean by that? Our conditions of freedom that Jesus gives us is do what you know to do right, the Good Samaritan person, and let Jesus take care of the rest of that stuff. I would not hesitate myself to go into a place like that to get help for somebody bleeding on the street. I would do it in a heartbeat. I have done it before. My mama-in-law taught me how to do it. And I did it. I've done it before. And I'm just telling you, do not let your sensibilities of, oh, I'm not going to frequent that restaurant because the same-sex couple owns it or runs it or whatever. Oh, I'm not going to go in there because they have a bar area that serves alcoholic beverages. Or I'm not going to go there because I heard this or I heard that. If Jesus is calling people to go in the highways and the byways, he did not exclude anybody. It's not our place to exclude. It's our place to help.
Amen.
Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there.
No, that's good. It's good to go on sidetracks every now and then. 1 John 3:8, this is what I was talking about. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Notice that it makes a practice. You're practicing sinning. In other words, you're getting good at it, just like practicing medicine. It's not that you sin or that you stumble or you fall or you trip up, but you make a practice of sinning. You see how much better you can get at sinning. You're of the devil at that point. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared. Now listen, the reason, for this reason, some Bibles say, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. There's our answer. So did Jesus come just to save us? That is part of it, but he just came to destroy the works of the devil. When Adam and Eve gave up their rights as the ones who had full ownership and dominion of what God had gave them, not just the garden, but all of earth, they ended up giving that power to who? The enemy of our souls. And Jesus broke that. That's truly what he has made us free from, the snares and the power of the devil. He has destroyed the works of the devil. Let's look at something else here. Oops, sorry. When we trust in Jesus, we gain our independence. So Jesus, see, what we have to understand is that when Jesus died, went buried and resurrected, that he did a work that is a finished work. What we do as Christians is we trust in that work. We believe on him. We believe in him. We believe in the work that he did. That's all he's asking for us. Do you believe it? Can you trust in it? Can you put your hope and all of your eggs in my basket? You know, don't set some over here and, you know, just in case, you know, the Christian thing doesn't work out. Can you put all of yourself in my basket and believe on me, believe in me? So let's look at this. Oh, wrong verse. Sorry. I got out of order. Oh, I went. I'm sorry. My bad. Okay. So listen, friends. Go ahead. I'm Acts 13.
So listen, friends. Through this Jesus, The forgiveness of sins is offered to you. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt, something the law of Moses had no power to do.
So this is Paul communicating here, and he's letting them know, listen, friends, through this Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is offered for you, offered to you. It's given to you. Everyone who trusts, everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt. So is it just like a certain group? Is it just the Baptists? Is it just the Roman Catholics? You know, is it the Methodists? Is it the Charismatics? It's everyone. Everyone who believes. Is it the person who doesn't go to church at all? If they believe, yes. Is it the person that's mad at God? Well, even if they're mad at God, but they still believe in him, they're still set free from sin and guilt. We put conditions on what makes people available to receive Jesus being set free from sin and guilt, but God doesn't. All his conditions are, do you believe? Do you fully trust in me? Do you fully put all of your hope? Do you put all your eggs in my basket? And not holding out on anything else.
I tend to be more of the mindset that I put conditions on myself. Like, oh, would a good Christian do that? More than I would somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because I know what goes on in here. I know how this thought process works. And I know how condemning it can be, you know? So I tend to put more on myself. Like, ooh, if people only knew me like I know me.
Yeah.
But Jesus does.
He does.
And he died for me nonetheless. Right?
Fully. And this is something that the law of Moses had no power to do. We go back to Galatians 5:1 and we see why he's saying you have been set free. Mm-hmm. You have been set free. So don't go back to the law. Don't go back to rules and regulations and trying to keep something that makes you righteous, because Jesus is the one who makes us righteous and free. Let's look at another verse here. This is Romans 6:5-7.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
Love that part.
Oh, that is amazing. Let's read that one again, babe. For if we have been united in him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin.
Amen. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now, this is a scripture that I use when people are getting ready to get baptized. Because when they're going down into those waters of baptism, it is a significant moment that tells the world and tells your heart and gives you a cemented time that you're saying, I was buried with Jesus. My old life is dead. My old self is dead. I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Not some things have been polished and, you know, and shined up a little bit. No, all things have become new. And why did he do this? Why have we been crucified and our body of sin? So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. See, they were enslaved to England. Mm-hmm. Because they were still a
colony.
Yep. They weren't quite republic. I think they were a colony. And England still had their tentacles in them. Mm-hmm. And they were enslaved to them, to the place they were paying taxes on food that they were making themselves, and The king was, you know, raking in the dough.
Yeah.
But we were enslaved to sin. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, we're enslaved to sin. We're slaves to that old process. But when one has died, have we died? Yeah, we've died. When Christ died, we died. If we identify and trust in him and believe in him, we're saying, when you died on the cross, Lord, I died. The old Mike Lindell died. The new Mike Lindell is coming alive. There's an Independence Day came for Mike Lindell. That the darkness that shrouded my life, the fuzziness of life, the no goal, the no direction, whatever you want to call it, was broken off my life, and I was free. I received my independence to live a life that God had fully created me for. And that, at the same time, set me free from sin. Some people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, your sin, yes, God's grace covered your sin, but you're not just a sinner. Mm-hmm. You've been freed from sin. You're dead to sin. You don't have to live being a sinner. We can live victorious and holy. Go ahead.
Well, in the Old Testament, God painted this picture with changing people's names. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the New Testament, too. I mean, how many believers got a new name for their mission and their purpose?
Paul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, like, that's how much God wants us to get, that we are not who we were.
Amen.
Once we have been resurrected with Jesus.
Yeah.
From the dead of sin.
I like my name, though. It means one like God. I'm going to keep it.
It reminds me of that old chorus we used to sing. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
I'm a new creation.
You guys know that one?
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen.
We used to sing that all the time. And there's freedom in that. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you are a new creation.
Right.
You are brand new. You don't have to live the way you did before. You don't have to live chained the way you did before.
That's right.
You don't have to live tied up, bound by things that don't even belong to you anymore. The only one that wants to put in your new resume a past is the enemy.
Yeah, that's good.
Write a new resume for this person and don't put any of the past stuff. It's a clean sheet of paper. Quit bowing to that and thinking that you need to bring, oh, but people should know what I did. No, they don't. They don't need to know anything. Other than you are a brand new creation. Jesus saved you, pulled you out of the pit, pulled you up to be his so that you would be free. I'm going to tell you, any man that has walked out of prison, that has gone through that last gate, he's already seen the sunshine. He's already felt the wind blow on him. He's already seen what he's going to walk into. But something happens when he passes that last gate. It's like that last break. Why do we tend to go back inside as a Christian? Why do we think that we need to live back in the area prior to that gate? We don't have to live that way anymore. That's saying that Jesus' work was not a full work. If we're going back inside, get off the fence, get through the gate, live free.
Amen. Amen. I think the scripture might help us a little bit. Romans 6:18 and verse 22. And now you celebrate, hey, woo-hoo, your freedom from your former master's sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. Did you guys hear that? And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master's sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. Verse 22, but now as God's loving servants, you live in joyous freedom from the power of sin. So consider the benefits you now enjoy. You are brought deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. Celebrate your freedom, folks. That's what today is all about, the 4th of July, about celebrating our freedom from the British. But we need to celebrate our freedom in Christ every day of what he's accomplished for us.
Yes.
We need to live in joyous freedom.
Yes. Amen.
Not going back to the way that things used to be. I want to use one more verse here. Galatians 5. I was going to put it in there and I forgot. 5:13. It was actually today's verse for the YouVersion of the Bible. Does anybody get that? Let me give you a daily verse. For you were called to freedom, brothers. So you've been called to freedom. It's like you receive a phone call. Hello? This is freedom calling. You are free. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another.
Amen.
So we're not to let our freedom say, oh, I'm so free, I can do anything I want. And you just go and you live slaves to sin again.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You're not free then. You're slave again.
Yeah.
But if you are in that boat, guess what? All you have to do is trust, believe in Jesus once again. Remind yourself that he destroyed the works of the devil. And you can walk in freedom today. You don't have to go through a 12-step program. You don't have to come to the altar next Sunday because you missed this Sunday. No, you can do it right now. You can receive that work that destroyed the devil back into your life by trusting the work of the cross and walk in your independence. Walk in the freedom Christ died for you for. Amen. All right, one more thing. When we leave this life, we will experience our full independence. So we have the independence that Jesus purchased for us, that he accomplished. We have the independence that we receive when we trust in Christ. We receive that experience and life independence for here. And then we receive an experience of independence where we are no longer bound by the mortality that this life holds us in. Or the pain, or the scars, or the illnesses, fill in the blank, okay? So go ahead. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 55.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where is your sting?
So this is reminding us that there's a mystery out there. And it says that not everybody is going to sleep or die. Actually, you know, expire in this life. Mm-hmm. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the last trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. So the dead, who seemingly have perished, mm-hmm. are going to be raised to an imperishable. It says here, the mortal will put on immortality. And it doesn't say, well, they must put on immortality. They will go from being mortal, being in a corrupted state, this temporal state that is temporal, to immortality. And then it says here, when the perishable puts on this imperishable, and the mortal puts on this immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. So this we will experience fully this phrase, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, death no longer has power of us, over us. Oh, yes. Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus was blatant enough to tell the Mary and Martha that if you believe in me, you'll never die. And I know that somebody say, how can that be? Because I have loved ones that have died. Well, if they're in Christ, they haven't died. Mm-hmm. That's why they use the term sleep, because it's as if they never died. Mm-hmm. A new life begins. The real life begins. Keep in mind that this is just some scientists say that this is actually just a simulation that we're living in, which is crazy. In other words, it's like a computer programming running. But what's real is outside the computer program, right? Have any of you played a three-dimensional game? You know, first-person shooter? You ever played a first-person shooter? where you're interacting with other seemingly, individuals that seem to have their own, world that they're in as well. Well, that's kind of what this life is like. Well, I mean, the Truman Show, I mean, he was in a world where
everybody was watching him,
yeah. Everybody knew what he was in. He didn't know what he was in. It's kind of like the Matrix. There's a life after this life that's our real life. It says when Christ appears, we will experience that real life. So right now, enjoy Christ in this experience that he's given us. But something better is coming. Because of that, we can celebrate Independence Day.
So I know that for me, when I start getting not focused on Jesus and start looking around at the simulation, essentially, is what we're living in, what really helps is speaking life. It's like my feelings are not real.
Right.
What is real, what is true, is Jesus. And just saying it out loud sometimes so that we can hear it in our ears. My feelings, this circumstance, this perspective that I'm coming from, it's not real. But what is real and what is true is Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, and if it's even just that one sentence, like that's enough to get me back focused and realizing that none of this matters. What matters is Jesus.
Yep. Well, and that's what it says, that Jesus is reality. He is real.
Yeah.
And when we're in Christ, guess what? We're in reality. We're experiencing reality. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time that we've been able to gather together. And Lord, we just ask that you would allow this word to go deep in our hearts. And that those of us, Lord, that have felt distant, those of us that have been felt trapped by sin, those of us, Lord, that maybe have not been able to see the light of in your truth, God, of that we're set free. We're free from sin. We're free from bondage. We're free from chains. Lord, we're free from the traps of the enemy. Lord, that we would experience a new level of that in our lives in the coming days. I bless everyone, Lord, that's been able to be with us. I ask you, Lord, to continue to let your perfect plan be fulfilled in their lives. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and worship here.
Have a wonderful 4th of July with your families. Be blessed and go and just share the love of God with those around you. Remember, let's reach Yakima one life at a time. Amen.